My message title today is Moses Warning to America. And I know that sounds a little strange, because how many have ever heard a message preached about Moses warning America? I don't think so. But I was reading the other day and doing some studying, and as I was reading this, God spoke to my heart and said, this applies to America. And today I'm going to be reading almost entirely using the Complete Jewish Bible. And I know there's been a proliferation of Bible translations in the English language. You know, it started off with the Tyndale version in 1526, then the Cloverdale in 1535, Geneva in 1557, then King James in 1611. And then all of a sudden there were a whole bunch of versions that came along, and some good, some bad. The Complete Jewish Bible I like to use sometimes, especially when we want to look at to what the Jewish mind thinks as they look at the Hebrew words. Because you and I know that sometimes we can use a word and it can have one meaning to us, and somebody that's learning the language can learn maybe a little bit different meaning to that word. And some words that are in the English language today don't mean the same thing they did 50 years ago. It's very obvious. So we have to watch sometimes what we say when we're speaking in the English language here. But today I want to be using the translation of the Complete Jewish Bible, which gives the Greek mind, or the Hebrew, excuse me, the Jewish mindset to the meaning of the Greek and Hebrew words. Moses, that great prophet, statesman, lawgiver, is standing basically at the borders of the promised land. He's been leading God's people for 40 long years. He's coming to the last days, actually down to even possibly at this point, the last hours of his life. God has already spoken to Moses and said, you're not going to enter into the promised land. I'm going to give you a chance to view it from a distance, but you're not going to cross over Jordan. Moses, I want you to deliver this final address to the children of Israel. And the book of Deuteronomy is basically Moses' thoughts going back over what's happened from the time they left Egypt. All the law that's been given, the things that have happened, it's kind of a synopsis, you might say, of what happened in the preceding books of the Pentateuch. So Moses is standing here, giving his final address, knowing that within days, that mighty group of people will cross the Jordan, and they will begin to possess that land that God promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has them on the brink of that promise being fulfilled to them. Yes, they face some times ahead when they will have to go to battle. But God has said that he would go with them. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along with me, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, we're going to begin with verse 14, and we're going to read to verse 21. And really, you might want to, we're going to skip some of the verses in here, but you might want to go home and read this whole thing, because we're going to skip several verses as we do read this to save some time. But beginning with verse 14, Adonai said to Moshe, the time is coming for you to die. Summons Yahashua By the way, that same word translates also to Yeshua or Jesus. Summons Yehoshua and present yourself in the tent of meeting so that I can commission him. Moshe and Yehoshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. Adonai appeared in the tent in a column of cloud. The column of cloud stood above the entrance to the tent. Adonai said to Moshe, "You are about to sleep with your ancestors, but this people will get up and offer themselves as prostitutes to foreign gods of the land where they are going. When they are with those gods, they will abandon me and break my covenant, which I have made with them." Let's stop there just a moment. God has led them for 40 years. He's provided for them. Scripture tells us their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. When they needed healing, God provided healing. When they needed food, God provided food. He provided for all of their needs for 40 years. He's got them now poised to enter the land that has been promised to them. It's going to be a great day. But what's he saying here? He's saying, "Moses, I know this people. They're going in there, and at some point, they are going to prostitute themselves to follow after other gods." I kind of wonder how Moses must have felt when God spoke those words to him. You know how sometimes when you hear news that's unsettling to you, how you get that tightness in your chest, you know, and you just almost can't breathe? I kind of wonder if maybe Moses almost didn't feel that way when God spoke these words to him. "You're about to sleep with your ancestors, but this people will get up and offer themselves as prostitute to the foreign gods of the land where they are going. When they are with those gods, they will abandon me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger will flare up, and I will abandon them and hide my face from them. They will be devoured, and many calamities and troubles will come upon them. Then they will ask, 'Haven't these calamities come upon us because our God isn't here with us?' But I will be hiding my face from them because of all the evil they will have done in turning to other gods. Therefore, write this song for yourself and teach it to the people of Israel. Have them learn it by heart so that this song can be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land, I swore to their ancestors, flowing with milk and honey, and they have eaten their fill, grown fat, and turned to other gods, serving them and despising me and broken my covenant. Then after many calamities and troubles have come upon them, this song will testify before them as a witness, because their descendants will still be reciting it and will not have forgotten it. For I know how they think even now, even before I have brought them into the land about which I swore." You can go on later and read some of these other verses. Moses, as he has spoke to the people, has brought to mind what's occurred over 40 years. What they have faced and what they're about to face. Telling them and reminding them of when they turned their back on God, what calamity befell them. Reminding them of how that when he went up on the mountain to receive the law and came back finding them worshiping golden calf, what happened. How that each time those that decided to turn their back on God and follow after some other way and go against the will of God, the calamity that befell them. Reminding them of these things. This is what's going to happen to you, he has said, if you follow after other gods. And now God has spoken to him and said, this people will do this. I titled this message, Moses, Warning to America, because I believe that what Moses had to say to the children of Israel that day can apply even to us in America today. Because you see, a prophecy can have sometimes multiple meanings, or can be applied to multiple groups of people or multiple times even. What Moses was saying right here that day, he was writing to the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And he has said, this is what God, Yahweh God himself has said, you will do. Within a very short period of time of this, Moses, as God has said, died. God buried him. He did not cross over into the promised land, but down the road, even within a short space of time, some were disobedient to God and did not carry out what God told them to do, and they suffered punishment from God because of it. And I know there are a lot of people out there today says, well, the God of the Bible, the God of the New Testament, he's a God of love, and he doesn't do things like this. We were watching a program the other night, and one person said, the Jesus that you read about in the book of Revelations is not the same Jesus that it talks about in the Gospels. I got news for that person. It is the same Jesus. He has said the day is coming that I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back with wrath. I'm going to come back to judge. He's a merciful God, and if we'll turn our lives to him, he will remain a merciful God. Moses has been warning the people of this. And we read the Bible and we read the rest of the Old Testament on down through a roughly 1400 year time period till you get to the New Testament. And we find out they turned their back on God time and time and time again. And each time they turned their back on God, he offered them a chance to repent. And when they did not, destruction, calamity came upon them. They found themselves captives, carried away from their land on numerous occasions. Even at the time of Jesus, they were what? Under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And before that, they had been under the thumb of the Greek Empire. And before that, the Assyrian Empire. And before that, the Babylonian Empire. And one after another that had come against them. Because why? They had turned their back on God. Oh yes, they had the ritual. They had the ceremony. But most of it was meaningless to them. The priesthood had grown corrupt. You could buy the position of high priest. What was supposed to have been anointed by God was corrupted by man. Moses has written this stuff that God has told him to write. And he said, this is a witness against you in that day when calamity comes upon you. That applied to then. But many of these things we read about not only in the Pentateuch, but in the prophetic books. Elijah, Ezekiel, some of these other prophets applied in many cases to that time and that day and that age, but it also applied to the far-reaching future. Some of which still is on the verge and right on the cusp of being fulfilled. Moses is writing down here what God is speaking, and God is speaking not only to that people, but he's speaking to God, those people who claim to be his followers, his children, throughout history, saying, when you turn your back on me, calamity will follow. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 29. Because I know, this Moses speaking again, because I know that after my death you will become very corrupt and turn aside from the way I have ordered you, and that disaster will come upon you. And the Akrith Hayaman, because you will do what Adonai sees as evil and provoke him by your deeds. Akrith Hayaman literally means the end of days, the end of times, or the latter days. Olam Hazeth, which means coming to a close, that which is about to begin. Praise the Lord. He's saying this can apply, and I think it's applying to the last days. This week, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. That day of celebration, we are supposed to be thankful for what God has done for us and for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Our forefathers, the pilgrims who celebrated that first Thanksgiving so many years ago, came here to this new world, as they called it, to establish a place where that they could worship God with freedom, being able to do it and not have somebody with a thumb on them and saying, you can only worship God this way, or you can't worship God, or whatever was the case. They came here to establish a land where God could be honored, that God would be in charge. Time passes. Some of you here may remember when you were growing up, going to school. Your day started in school with an opening prayer and a verse from the Bible. Do you know why public schools were established? So that every child would receive enough education that they would be able to read God's word. It wasn't to teach them about all this other stuff. It was to teach them to the point that they could know about God. And oh, how it has strayed from that purpose. Our great universities, Harvard, for example, was originally a Christian school with Christian goals and purposes in mind, and how far it has strayed. And some schools today that claim to have religious teaching, when you begin to listen to those who are professors on the staff and some of their graduates, you find out they have no real understanding of Yahweh, God of the Bible. Their mind has been corrupted. America was a promised land. A promised land, not for the Jewish people, although many of them came, but it wasn't just for the Jewish people as the land of Israel was. And I don't want some folks to think that I'm get off in saying that the church and replacement theology and that the church replaced the children of Israel in prophecy. I don't believe that. But I also believe God had things prophesied for what we call the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish. And I believe that God established and helped to establish America, that it could be that promised land for people who wanted to serve God. And I got news for you folks. We love the King James Bible, but King James himself was not that nice a guy. And he ordered that translation because he was convicted by something that was in the Geneva translation. A promised land. Where if they wanted to pray standing up, they could pray standing up. If they wanted to pray laying flat on their face, they could pray laying flat on their face. If they wanted to pray in the morning or the evening or whenever, if they wanted to worship God on Saturday or Sunday, it didn't matter. They could worship God according to the dictates of their heart. A promised land. You might say, a promised land for Christians. But just as God spoke through Moses, and Moses wrote this word of prophecy to the children of Israel, that when they entered into the promised land, that land of Israel that God was giving them, that he had promised their forefathers that they would come, that they would prostitute themselves with strange gods, and they would turn their back on God, and calamity would fall. And so it is. Christian America has prostituted itself. And we have fallen. And I know there's some people out there that would say, preacher, don't preach that the church has gone downhill, this, that, and the other. We have turned our back on God in so many ways. In some cases, the church is more like the world than the world. We have let those things come in till the things of God are completely out of it. And why are these calamities falling upon us? Because we do not serve Jehovah God. Now in America, we have being politically correct. That's all well and good until it comes to Christianity. But if you say anything Christian, don't talk about that. You can't talk about Christianity. You can talk about anything else, any other religion you want to talk about, any other God you want to talk about, but don't talk about the God of the Bible. Don't talk about him. In your bulletin today, I have the full text of an article. Don't have time to read it right now, but it basically says this in the headline: a pastor in Wichita, Kansas heads to court today, and this was on Friday, I believe, to defend himself against charges involving his efforts to witness for Christ outside a mosque. He was standing on public property using his constitutionally guaranteed freedom of speech to witness to Muslims, and was arrested. Not given a reason why he was arrested, hauled off to court, off to jail. If the shoe had been on the other foot, and it had been a Muslim standing outside a church, any church, handing out tracts about Islam, which in this country, under the Constitution, they have the right to do. Nothing would have been said. We as Christians could have complained, but nothing would have been done because we would have been told it is their constitutionally guaranteed right to do so. But where is our constitutional right to do so? It is because America has turned its back on God. And many in the church cried out in anguish, and they were so upset when President Obama, and you all know I'm not a big fan of President Obama, but I believe he was right on with this statement. When he said America is no longer a Christian nation, and when you stop to examine it, we have turned our back on God as a whole. There are many out there who profess to be Christians, but they are far from it. And then somebody comes along, well, we can't judge, we can't judge, we can't judge. You bet your boots we can judge when it comes to those things. We've turned our back on God. And what did Moses prophesy? What, roughly 3,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. The people, when they got into the promised land, would prostitute themselves with strange gods. And calamity would come. And what's happening in America? Calamity has come. Disaster has come. You know, I find it very interesting when secular television starts putting on programs about the rapture and about the tribulation and things that are in the book of Revelations. And of course they say, well, if this really did happen, this is what might occur. The secular world knows that calamity is about to befall. They know that the end of the age is near. They call it the end of the world. They know these things. You see, because that one that they blindly follow, many cases unknowingly follow, knows that his time is coming to a close. He knows. And he's doing his best to trash the people of God, the people who worship Yahweh, God of the Bible, the people who try to live a Christian life, those who try to do what is right in the sight of God. He's doing his best to destroy them, discredit them, disgrace them, whatever it takes. You find when you read about the children of Israel, even when they fell into these things of prostituting themselves with other gods, there were always a few who did not. There were always that group that did not. That remnant that hung on. Moses warned us 3,500 years ago, that this is what would happen if we turned our back on God. And I seriously doubt that anybody has ever preached this warning before. You say, now, are you trying to say you're somebody special? I'm saying, no, I'm not somebody special. But I'm somebody that God spoke to and said, you're going to preach in the last days. And if you're preaching in the last days, you've got to warn the people about what's about to come. And I know I could get up and I could preach happiness and love and prosperity and all these things that people want to hear, and this building could be overflowing. But many of them would leave the door lost because it's not prosperity. It's not love, joy, peace. And some of these things that are being preached today, which is good, love, joy, peace are good. It's good to have money. All these things are good. But we've got to understand the fact that we've got to stand true to Almighty God. And if we don't, we're going to lose it all. And I got news, America, we're about to lose it all. But one thing I'm going to tell you, and I believe this with all my heart, that if you're living for God and you're doing the best for God that you can and you're hanging on there with every last bit of strength that's within you, that God is going to look out for his people as well. The scripture tells us, and I've forgotten exactly where it's at, but he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I'm telling you today, if you hold on to God, no matter what calamity comes against us, and they will come, he will hold true to his people. He will provide for you. He will make a way for you. He'll be that shelter in a time of storm. We'll be sheltered in His arms. We sang that song this morning, and we apply that to the day that we get to heaven, but we can be sheltered in His arms down here as well. Why? There's gloomy days ahead, and people don't want to hear that. But folks, I got news. Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, all right. Everything's going to be all right. And you know what? If we're born again Christians, it's going to be all right for eternity. It's going to be all right forever. Because you see, I got some other news too. Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back and He sets up His kingdom for that millennial reign, that 1,000 years, everything's going to be all right. But it tells us there's going to be a time after that that Satan's going to be loosed for a season. Doesn't tell us how long. Because you see, there's going to be folks born on the earth during that time, and they've got to have their chance. I don't think it'll be too long of a period. They'll have to make up their mind whether they're going to serve God or they're going to serve the devil. And once that happens, and Satan is cast into the bottomless pit for eternity, the Bible then tells us that yes, this world as we know it today is going to be revitalized, it's going to be cleansed, it's going to be renewed, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything's still going to be all right forever and ever. But only if we're serving God, only if we're a Christian, only if we have Jesus in our heart. Today in America, you can blaspheme God. You can make fun of God. You can use His name in vain, and they call it freedom of speech. But try blaspheming Muhammad in any country. And yes, I mean even here in America. And see what happens. You'll have a fatwa on your head so fast you can't see it coming. But Yahweh, God of the Bible, you can say anything you want to about. Today, as we close, I stand here to tell you that America's only hope is Jesus Christ. America's only hope is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved." Our only hope, Yeshua in Hebrew, Jesus in Greek, Jesus in English. I could go on with some of the other names and other languages. It doesn't matter what language you call out His name in. Maybe Jesus in Spanish. Doesn't matter. He hears you. He hears you when you cry out. Even if you can't speak the words, but they form in your mind, and you call out in your mind and in your spirit, Jesus! He's there. He's there. And Father, today is we bring this message to a close, Father, I pray that there's someone listening today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe they're taking part in one of these false religions. Maybe they've turned their back on God. Father, did I pray today that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Show them, Father, their need. And I pray today that, Father, as this message goes out, Father, it would go out to the world. It would go out to folks in America, Father. Father, that people, those who claim to be Christians and are not really following God, that it would shake them to their core and they would turn their lives back to God. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do, for I've asked it now in Jesus' name. Amen.